Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report. I'm Phil Adler. President Trump has made it obvious he wants a Federal Reserve chairman who will push for lower interest rates. Does Kevin Warsh fit the bill? Confluence Associate Market Strategist and Certified Business Economist Thomas Warsh joins us today to tell us the answer is complicated. Thomas, the title of your report this week is The Warsh Doctrine. Kevin Warsh, the president's choice for Fed chairman, will take over the job in May from outgoing chairman Jerome Powell if the Senate approves. Warsh does have a lengthy history in government and finance, and he has served on the Fed before. But the president's choice of him to chair the Fed seemed a little bit surprising because Warsh has a reputation as a bit of a Fed hawk. Is that reputation deserved?
Thank you for having me. And to answer your question, yes, based on his history, the hawk label would have fit him very well. Warsh comes from a monetarist school of thought that believes the Fed's main job is controlling inflation through precise, predictable actions. He's been a vocal supporter of using a rules-based approach, similar to the Taylor Rule, rather than the more flexible, discretionary style we've been seeing recently. He also favors a target range over a single fixed number, which he views as somewhat random. Essentially, his Warsh Doctrine aims to pull back the curtain on Fed decision-making, but in doing so, it would make it much harder for the Fed to slash rates to near zero.
Why do you think the president chose Warsh instead of candidates who more obviously favor interest rate cuts?
I think the selection of Kevin Warsh over candidates like Kevin Hassett or Christopher Waller appears driven by two primary factors, political viability and institutional reform. While Hassett was a top choice, his proximity to the White House raised significant hurdles for Senate confirmations, a lesson learned from the failed nomination of Marvin Goodfriend and Judy Shelton during the president's first term. Even the recent confirmation of Stephen Miron by a 48-47 margin signaled that the Senate remains wary of nominees perceived as too closely aligned with the executive branch. Secondly, Warsh distinguishes himself from institutionalists like Christopher Waller through his openness to a Treasury-Fed partnership. Warsh has suggested that the Federal Reserve should coordinate more closely with the Treasury to manage the national debt and the Fed's balance sheet. This Warsh doctrine aligns with the president's goal of modernizing the Fed's operation, whereas Waller is viewed as a defender of the traditional and dependent status quo.
Well, let's dig into the Warsh doctrine. We know the Fed has a dual mandate of maximum employment and stable prices. Is it fair to say that while the basic mandate may not change, Warsh may revamp the methodology and guideposts the Fed has relied on to gauge the strength and direction of the economy?
Well, I think that view is correct. Warsh is expected to lead a regime change in Fed methodology, moving away from the rigid 2% inflation target in favor of a more flexible target range. Now, this shift allows the Fed to avoid, this fine-tuning the economy based on backward-looking data. A key pillar of the Warsh doctrine is his focus on a productivity-led growth boom, particularly driven by AI. He argues that if the economy is growing because it is more efficient, the Fed can safely cut rates even if growth is strong, as productivities act as a natural disinflationary force. To gauge this, Warsh has expressed a preference for private sector market metrics and real-time capital market data over traditional lagging government reports, which he believes often misdiagnose the true state of the economy.
I want to get back to that, the AI-driven productivity boom that Warsh seems to favor. But first, I wanted to ask the question under Warsh, do you think the Fed will be less transparent or less willing to signal rate decisions ahead of time?
Well, people often ask if Warsh will be less transparent. I'd say he'll be less of a tour guide. Lately we've gotten used to the Fed holding the market's hand and telling us exactly what they'll do months in advance. Warsh thinks that's a mistake. He famously said the Fed can become a prisoner of its own words, meaning if they promise a move today, they're stuck with it even if the world changes tomorrow. So expect fewer hints between meetings and a lot less chatter. He's essentially taking the training wheels off and telling investors, do your own homework. We aren't going to narrate every move for you.
Let's get back to AI. As you mentioned, Warsh has pointed to the transformative potential of AI to increase productivity. How might this expectation influence Federal Reserve policy under his chairmanship?
Warsh has been very bullish on AI's potential to boost productivity, and that really matters for how he might run the Fed. His basic view is that if AI genuinely raises the economy's productive capacity, you can get faster growth without the same inflation pressure, which means the Fed wouldn't need to lean as hard on very high rates to keep prices in check. It's somewhat similar to the Greenspan era in the late 1990s, when a technology-driven productivity boom let the economy run hotter than people thought possible without triggering a big inflation breakout. So under Warsh, strong AI productivity could be an argument for letting rates drift lower over time than they otherwise would, as long as inflation actually cooperates.
So, bottom line, Warsh believes that increased productivity might allow the Fed to lower interest rates without triggering inflation.
Yes, for the most part, yes. Warsh's argument is that if AI really unleashes a big productivity boom, the economy can grow faster without the same inflation pressure, which gives the Fed more room to cut rates than in a normal cycle. In that world, lower rates help finance the build-out of AI-related infrastructure and capacity, and the resulting surge in efficiency and output does some of the work of keeping prices in check. It's an unusual stance for a central banker because it leans on easier monetary policy to fight inflation through the supply side instead of just using higher rates to slam demand. Whether that actually works depends on which forces end up dominating over the next few years: the productivity-driven expansion of supply or continued strength in demand and fiscal policy.
Thomas, does this view have historical support?
If I'm being honest, his view would be considered unorthodox in mainstream economics, where monetary policy is usually aimed at raising rates to curb demand, on the assumption that productive capacity is relatively fixed in the short run. Nonetheless, closely related ideas have appeared before. Supply-side thinking has a long history in fiscal policy, where tax cuts and deregulations have been promoted as a way to increase incentives, expand productive capacity, and boost long-run output.
Thomas, will Warsh have a tough fight on his hands to persuade other voting members of the Fed?
Well, I think he would. Warsh is likely to face a tough battle convincing other Fed voters. If you might listen to his argument that rate cuts could help expand the economy's capacity over time and ease inflation, but most officials are likely to be wary of basing interest rate decisions on long-run supply-side stories because the Fed has traditionally focused on managing demand in the here and now. That said, he might find some common ground in the weak labor market. Softer jobs data has already pushed some of the more dovish members towards supporting rate cuts. So even if they disagree with his theory, they could still end up on the same side when it comes to lowering rates.
Thomas, you said earlier that Warsh favors a target range over a single fixed number. So under his chairmanship, what is the future of the Fed's 2% inflation target?
You know, I honestly expect him to trade in that, bullseye 2% for more of a buffer zone. Instead of obsessing over a single rate, he'll likely push for a range, maybe 1% to 2%, or a slightly more realistic 1.5% to 2.5%. The big takeaway here isn't just the numbers, it's about the wiggle room. Warsh wants the Fed to have flexibility to breathe so they aren't forced into making a move just because the needle moved a tiny fraction.
What about the Fed's balance sheet? How might Warsh's approach to the balance sheet impact interest rates?
Now, that's the big uncertainty. How Warsh would handle the Fed's balance sheet? My view is that he might let the Fed's longer-term bonds gradually run off, meaning the Fed wouldn't replace them when they mature, to reduce the size of its holdings. However, he could also be open to buying more short-term securities to help the Treasury manage its debt more smoothly. The Fed has already started doing something similar with its recent short-term purchases. If Warsh followed this approach, it could make long-term interest rates a bit more volatile, but keep short-term rates relatively steady.
Focusing squarely on the direction of interest rates, could a determination to shrink the balance sheet act as a counterweight to the power of increased AI-related productivity?
If we focus just on interest rate cuts, I do not think efforts to shrink the Fed's balance sheet would fully cancel out the effects of lower policy rates. Large, financially strong technology companies are likely to keep borrowing at relatively low cost because credit markets currently offer very favorable terms to high-quality borrowers, and lenders generally prefer firms with strong earning prospects and solid credit ratings. As a result, even if the Fed continues to reduce its bond holdings, I still expect borrowing costs for these big tech companies to remain low if the Fed keeps cutting rates.
Well, time to sum up now from an investment standpoint. The investor's question. Should we investors be wary of expectations that the Fed under Warsh will favor aggressive interest rate cuts?
There's a lot of debate about whether Warsh will be too aggressive, but I see it as a major opportunity. Lower rates naturally push up the value of assets, which is exactly what we want for our clients' portfolios. But the real story here isn't just rates going down, it's the potential broadening of the market. We've seen a huge gap between the AI winners and the rest of the stock market over the last few years. Warsh's policy could finally bridge that gap, triggering a rally in the sectors that have been ignored for years. So, in my opinion, it's not a reason to be wary, it's a reason to be prepared.
Thank you, Thomas. The title of this week's report is The Warsh Doctrine, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.